Blog Talk Radio.
Our strength and song, shout for victory.
Welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's first women's show, designed with you in mind. The first two musical interludes that you just heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley. And I have a co-host, Sister Carol. Are you there?
I'm here. Shalom, family.
Shalom. Sister Jackie, sitting here at the round table, are you there?
Shalom, great day.
It is a great day.
As Sister Jackie, I want to know, are you sitting at a round table or is it a rectangle?
Well, you guys just say whatever you want. Guess what? I am sitting at a round table, so there.
I'm at a rectangular table.
Yeah, this isn't that too bad.
It's a round table. I've been celebrating all day. 62,
right.
Baby,
62. She's crazy. Everybody keeps saying she's our sunshine that comes on Ella Ricard's show.
So wait a minute.
Like, okay,
Jackson, today's your birthday?
Yes.
Tomorrow,
wait a minute.
Shirley's birthday.
That is hilarious.
When's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
Oh,
wow. Awesome.
Yep. I'll be 25. You're laughing a little bit too hard,
Jackie. I hear you, girl. I hear you.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey.
Most of the time I feel like 25, but sometimes I get a senioritis attack.
Well, maybe I should go 27, because by the time I was 27, at least I had all my children. 27
okay.
Years old.
Wow.
Married with 5 kids. Somebody checked to see if I had any sense. Our survey said none. But anyway.
Wow, I hadn't even gotten started at 27. I had my first one at 30 and my last one at 41.
That's beautiful. I mean, just the mere fact that you could keep going that long, but that's amazing. My mom had her first one at 31. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And had 7 more to start that thing on.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
He scared my daddy. I know that. He said, what do we have here, sister?
All right. So my voice is like 2 octaves lower than it's been because I got some kind of a bronchiolitis or something, and I'm just grateful it's not COVID. All praises to the Most High. And yeah, so I just wanted to come on anyway for a short show tonight, at least to get started on this. But at any rate, let me just say we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you're just overhearing the show and you want to be a part of the round table, and I mean round, or ask a question or make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOCChurch. Or you can send us a private email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. All right, so I am grateful. I'm grateful that the Most High gave me so many octaves that when I have a cold, I can at least back up and, you know, talk in another octave, you know what I mean? it just makes me a little bit happy, you know. But most I
I'm
sure
every woman.
Yeah.
I'm every woman. Sometimes you're a soprano, sometimes you're a baritone.
You know, nobody would believe I'm a soprano. They would not, but when I sang in the choir, I was a soprano. First soprano at that. It was amazing. I loved it. Matter of fact, one of the songs that I sang was Order My Steps. I was lead singer on that. That's very high soprano.
That's high.
Say what?
I said that's high. You were high soprano.
Very high soprano. But for whatever reason, the Most High has me in the sitting back room, and I'm letting everybody else do what they do, you know? And grateful to the side that he gives me other gifts that I can magnify and glorify his name with right here and now, you know.
Amen.
So anyway, amen. Before we get further into this, because, you know, I love to jump around. I love it. Probably a little too much, but I do love it. And I want to call upon the name of the Lord, Carol, and then we can. Then I'll talk about where we're going.
Okay, absolutely.
Sorry,
I'm
trying to find the mute button every time I cough because I must be sounding like I don't know what.
Distemper.
Sorry.
All righty. I'm going to take us before the throne of God, but before I do that, I'd love to start out by reading a scripture. I hope you guys can bear with me. I'm going to read Psalms 90, which is a beautiful psalm.
I love
it. I don't know if I can say that there are any psalms that are not beautiful, but this one
I
is
love
particularly
that one.
Beautiful. Lord, this is Psalms 90, and I'll start at the first verse. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
I mean, who can say that to the Most High? That's so powerful. Go ahead.
Amen. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there
their strength, labor, and sorrow. But it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us only with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen thee. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Father, your words are so powerful, so wonderful. We thank you tonight that you actually allowed us to codify your voice.
Thank you, Father.
To put, I'll say pen to paper, but whatever it is, chisel to tablet. Father, to put your word down that we may keep it in our hearts and live by it day by day. We thank you so much that we have what you've given us, this food to consume, to love, and to give us nourishment, Father. Who can deny that this is not, that this is the word, rather, of the Most High?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you as humble servants of the Most High. Father, we love you. We praise your marvelous name. We ask that tonight, whatever we share with the sisters, that it will bring glory and magnification to your holy name. We ask that on the other side, that we may be blessed by your word, by each other's words, Father, encouraged to keep going strong. We may continue to peel back the layers of wickedness and begin to shine more and more like you, Father. We thank you for everything that you've done. We ask that you touch and heal Sister Shirley's body, Father. We ask you that you may clear this, whatever this bronchitis, cold, whatever, that you may take it out of her lungs and restore her to health. Father, we're also asking that anyone that's listening, that you may restore them if they need a touch in their body. I'm asking you right now, I'm going to ask for somebody's protection in particular. Sister Sylvia Williams, who I went to visit the other day. So I'd love to see her walking again, talking, and reestablished with you, Father. The pains and the sorrows that our bodies feel. I'm asking you right now to restore this sister and allow her to give praise and honor to you. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you so much for everything that you've done. We thank you for waking us up this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the families that we have. We thank you for this wonderful church. And we thank you for this listening audience. And we ask all these blessings in the name of Ahaya Bahashim Yeshaya Wawawak, we pray. Aman.
Aman. Amen and amen. What a blessing. There's so much in that scripture. We're going to have to take another look at that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I love that scripture. It's so powerful and it's been so much time. And I mentioned something about his word. And the word of God is powerful. No, it's like when you start talking about it, I was reading in the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 3, and I just want to give a little bit of that. It says, in the 13th year after the destruction of our city,
Sorry.
Do you want me to read, Shirley?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let me just find where you're at. So you said second address?
Can you put that on to me?
Chapter 13, and which verse?
And as you have to say, first one.
Second address, chapter 13. What's the verse on?
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. 18?
Second address. I got it. I, Salathiel, who am also called Ezra, was in Babylon. I was troubled as I lay on my bed, and my thoughts welled up in my heart, because I saw the desolation of Zion and the wealth of those who live in Babylon. And you know, that can trouble us immensely. You know what I mean? When it looks like the wicked are doing so well. Sitting off out of the table.
Shirley, listen. Wait, hold on. Your voice is trembling a little, but let me read for you at least. You're on second address. What was the chapter?
Chapter 3 and 3 in that.
Okay, it's chapter 3 and verse 1. Wait a minute. Was it 2? All right, so I'm going to start at 3. Second address, 3 and 3. And my spirit was sore moved, so that I began to speak words full of fear to the Most High and said, O Lord, who bearest rule, thou speakest at the beginning, when thou didst plant the earth, and that thyself alone, and commandest the people, and gavest a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thine hand, and didst breath into him the breath of life, and he was made living before thee. And thou leadest him into paradise, which thy right hand had planted before ever the earth came forward.
Okay, so I just looked at that scripture, and I just wanted to bring it up because thou has been our dwelling place for all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world. That we've been his dwelling place. You understand? Some of these things that existed before the earth, you said here, the version I'm reading, it says before the earth appeared, that he created the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the Most High is so magnificent. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. It's like all of that to fill up your head is serious.
Amen.
It's just serious that you could, when we look at the magnificence of the Most High, and I just wanted to bring that to God because I really would like to understand a little more about that, but what most of the things about the Most High, what exactly does it mean where Christ was foundation of the world? Those scriptures,
before the foundations of the earth, exactly.
Yeah.
Can you see if you can put your headset or something, because you sound underwater again, goggling or something, if you can.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I want to say something while you get that together. Every time when Elder Wakar and them come on and they do the commercial for the Hebrew and Bible Academy, and Elder Lawyer says, the first thing you have to realize, or he realized, is that this is the Word of God. And every time he says that, it makes me tremble, because how can we so frivolously
think of this as just words. When I was reading the Psalms and I was listening to my own voice, I was saying to myself, this is the word of God. No man could have carved this out of his crazy brain. No one. This is the word of God. This is his word. And there's life in these words. That's the amazing part. That these words can make you tremble. These words can make you fall to your knees.
His word
His
word caused this world to come into existence. He spoke. And it happened. And it's things like that that we have to take into consideration when we think about our words. Because he breathed into Adam the breath of life.
That's right.
So some of his essence, the very essence of the Most High, his spirit, is in us. And therefore, our words, you know, I've been talking all day. Okay, let's try again. I wasn't going to do the show tonight because of this stupid cough. But I feel like don't let the devil get ahead of me. But our words. Oh, my God.
Our words have power.
Amen.
Made in the likeness and image of Christ, and our words speak life. We need to speak life. When we open our mouths, we need to think about what comes out of our mouth before we open our mouths.
Amen. We need to think, right? When I was a little girl, my mom would always say to me, stop and think.
Yes.
And I, you know, she'd always say that, and I'd always say to myself, what does she mean, stop and think?
I was such a silly little girl, and I would try and analyze everything my mother said, and, you know, because I didn't have the honor for her thoughts because I thought I was so educated. Little did I know.
Oh, you thought you were smarter than your mom?
I sure did.
Did you actually think you were smarter than your mom? Really back then?
I really did. I was really, I was cocky, girl. What are you talking about? I used to have words of wisdom one running around the house. My older sister would always say to me, you have to walk in someone else's footsteps before you can start giving out advice. I said, no, this stuff is clear.
Yeah. It was messy.
I knew how to raise children. I knew how to who to vote for. I knew everything.
Wow.
Why not? You have people like Dr. Spock who hasn't had one child and knows how to give all that advice out. Well, why not? You know?
I was brilliant, you know, and I just can't even believe how, you know, there's a story that's told about Einstein. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he said that when he gathered his stuff to go off to school, to college, he said to himself, my father is an idiot. He knows very little about the world. As his father gave him his advice, you know, this is what I want you to do, son, blah, blah, blah. And he walked away saying, he's got a lot to learn. When Einstein returned after the few years of college, he came back and he said he had a conversation with his father, and he said it was amazing how much his father had learned in the last 4 years.
Funny. Hilarious.
Yeah, because it wasn't his father. Of course, it was him who had And that's me today. When I, in retrospect, realizing how smart my mother was and how ignorant I was. But
someone asked me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carol.
No, I was going to just add some more stuff, but that's all right. Please feel free. You got a voice. Let's hear it.
Someone asked me if I could go backward in life and make one change. What would that be? And I said, I would have obeyed my parents. I would have listened to my parents. I didn't.
I'll tell you what I would have done.
They were great.
I would have given my life to Christ sooner.
Well, that was part of obeying our parents.
That's right, for sure.
That was the first thing that they wanted us to do. That was the first thing that they tried to teach us was about Christ. I had my own thoughts about that. But everything else, our parents, when I look backward, because you know what? You can give your life to Christ. But if you are not obeying your parents, be surprised how we sin and don't know it. Like sometimes, I know we got to get to the subject. Sometimes, like we talk about the vows, don't ever break a vow with God. Oh, my goodness. So let's just say, for instance, you say, look, I think I'm going to fast for 2 days, and you better not break that vow. Good Lord. But we stand before the Lord all the time and tell them, we're marrying this man for life. We promise to do this. We promise to do that. And then when it gets hot, we're out of there. We don't look at that as a vow. You know what I'm saying? It's like we tailor the scriptures to fit us oftentimes. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. Where when we make stupid decisions, he has an outlet for us. That even when he put Adam out of the garden, he made a way for Adam to be okay. Because he knew Adam was going to be all right. I love this statement. I digress. So we're talking about words and how important they are. And that's why tonight's show is verbal etiquette. It's an important topic because without it, you can hurt a lot of people. You can wound a lot of things, mess up a lot of things.
Amen.
And I'm going to throw this out there before, because Carol, I want you to read that short article. But I have things. And then things, and I think I mentioned this on the last show, that a sister joined the choir. She said to me, you know, Sister Shirley, I was glad to join this choir, and I think I liked you. And I was like, oh my, and I'm so sorry. I said, why? And she said, because you were so strict with those people, the way you were talking to them, I got scared. I didn't want to deal with it. And I was like, oh, my. She said, but now I'm in the choir. She said, I can't believe how good the teaching that you give us is. We are learning, really learning how to sing. And you are serious about it. And I wouldn't be learning if you weren't that serious. And one sister said, yeah, we would pay a whole lot of money to get this someplace else. You're really training us. And I was real grateful for all those wonderful thoughts. But I felt terrible that in the beginning you meet me and my etiquette is running you away. That you, I'm going to miss a soul out there because you're not seeing who I really am, because something else is shining in front of me. And I need to change that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm working on that part of me because it's necessary to draw people to Christ and not with my crazy antics, you know. And so that's why we want to talk about stuff like that, because that's usually how I am when I'm working. I'm in business. It's like, look out. I've been that way on the job. I've been that way everywhere. And it's time for me to fix that, I think. And that's what I said I want to try to do. I don't know how successful I'll be, but I am definitely trying. And the reason why I don't know how successful I'll be is because I don't even know when it's happening. I don't even know that I said something that's off the cuff. I don't know. So that's why I'm thinking to myself, if I have those issues, relationship-wise, we all must have certain things that fly out of our mouths that come out of inconvenience. Carol, go to the article or say anything that you have to say. I think Sister Aura's in. Aura, are you there? I thought I saw her. Are you muted, Aura? See, I'm getting ready to say something else. But go ahead, Carol. Let's look at the article, and you can say something.
Absolutely. I just wanted to bring back something that you were talking about, Titus. And in Titus 2, in the third verse, it talks about the role of the older woman. And one of the things she's to do is to love her husband and love her children. And I might have said this before, because you were talking about keeping the vows that you made. To teach a younger woman to love her husband is an amazing thing. But
yes,
to teach her to love her children is actually a result of loving her husband.
That's amazing.
Because
yes,
if you don't love that man and try to make things work, you are truly, as the scripture says, you're tearing down your house with your own hand. And what does it say that we will inherit if we destroy our own house with our own hands? What will we inherit? The wind.
Well, it says you'll inherit the wind,
That's right, and that's what we'll inherit, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's something for us to think about as women, how important that vow is that we made. And you know what? I'm not saying that from a seat of, oh, I did everything right. No, I'm saying that and from a seat of a woman who almost every other week was telling her husband as a young girl, I'm getting a divorce, too. I was always getting a divorce. I was planning. But I'm saying that, you know, as a joke, but it was true. I was really seriously always, anything that happened to me, you know how the scripture says easily offended? I was easily offended. But anyway, let me read this article.
Let me say something about that easily offended before you go. That you may have been easily offended. But once you read this article, I want to talk about some of the little words that come through that cause offense, all right? So go ahead. Let's read that article.
Okie dokie. This is about thinking before you speak. These are the fundamental social skills required for living successfully. But while intellect is an asset with a strong genetic basis, thinking well is also a skill that can be learned. And part of thinking well is thinking before you speak. Why think before you speak? Because while most of us are pretty careless with the words we choose, words are just so powerful. They can be helpful or hurtful and can have a direct influence on the outcome of a situation, creating a positive or negative reaction in the world. Words define our identity and reveal our attitudes and sensitivities, reflecting who we are. Our choice of words gives listeners an indication of our intelligence or ignorance. And when continually reinforced and turned into habitually negative thought patterns, They have the power to create a bad habit of dwelling on negatives in life. The problem is, once words exit our mouth, no amount of apologies will make them magically go back in. Blurting something out and then trying to retract it is like shutting the gate after the horse has bolted. On the other hand, thinking before we speak allows us the time to consider the effect of the words we are choosing. Developing healthy habits. Thinking before you speak is really good, is a really good habit to develop to avoid causing trouble in your life, whether in your relationships, careers, or elsewhere. My kids call it a filter. When you don't think before you speak, you're more likely to make badly informed statements and reduce your credibility, let alone hurt someone by putting your foot in your mouth, even if your intentions were genuinely harmless. Other times, particularly when feeling defensive, we tend to be very reactionary and quick to answer back without proper thought. For most of us, when we're in an argument, our ego rises up to defend its position. Becoming more self-aware of the power of the ego makes it easier to manage it. And if it's unavoidable to say something negative, thinking before we speak helps us be more tactful and understand how to offset negatively with something positive. Okay, so they want us to plan our speech. While speaking may seem to happen without a lot of thought because it occurs so quickly, psycholinguistics research has actually shown that we do plan our speech in different ways, and we do think in advance to various degrees. As such, we are not doomed to say the first thing that enters our head. We actually do have the ability to control our tongue, and it starts with really listening and comprehending during an interaction before opening your mouth. It's up to us to control our tongue and take responsibility for what emerges from our mouth. Be prepared to think before you speak. Say what you mean. Stand behind your statements and be responsible for them. Two great techniques for learning to think before you speak are to find your internal pause button and to use the think acronym. Finding your internal pause button will help you live life more pleasantly and mindfully. And I want to say something about that internal pause button. There was a minister that was on television one day, and he said that that button is maybe counting to two before you respond as your mind thinks about what you're getting ready to say. And that was the adding that. Okay, so voicing your head may be saying one thing, but your pause button will help you decide if it's something that should be said out loud. Recognize your triggers. Pay attention to physical reactions and sensations that are building in you, such as increased body heat or the feeling of a knot in the stomach. Boy, don't we know that feeling. Once you recognize your triggers, you can use them as a sign to active your inner pause button. Mentally say pause. Imagine you are reaching for a remote control. Take deep breaths, providing extra oxygen to your brain. Assist with planning your speaking. Observe listeners to others. You may feel there's an obligation to say something all the time, but there really is not. Instead, listen to your thoughts and observe them as they come and go. So mentally press play. This allows you to press play. This allows you to begin acting mindfully. It may seem that doing the above requires a lot of time and effort, and if you have trained your mind to always immediately react, it will seem like that at first. But it's the inner pause button. Is a simple reminder to yourself that you are allowed to wait and take the time to respond appropriately. Even just a few extra seconds of thinking can make a huge difference. Mm. So simply pressing pause allows you to make a better choice as to how to proceed. Another great tool for helping to train yourself to think before you speak is to use the THINK acronym. THINK can help you take control, make good decisions, talk less, and listen more. THINK stands for true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. So the T stands for true. Is what you are saying actually true, or is it fake news, lies, and misinformation hurts others and reflects the liar as someone untrustworthy? H for helpful. Are your words helpful, assisting others to make better decisions through offering good advice is also important. I is for inspiring. Are others inspired by what you are saying? People are greatly inspired by words which have the influence to prompt others to do amazing things. N is necessary. Do your words really need to be said? Useless chatter is annoying, while language that actively hurts others is wholly unnecessary. And K is for kind. Is what you want to say kind? We all know the saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all. Unkind sentences obviously have the power to hurt people. The THINK concept is useful not only in day-to-day interactions, but for any situation where words are employed, such as cyberspace. Hurtful comments online are just as painful as if they are said in real life. And that's true. I see people putting all kind of crazy stuff up there. Bullying at school is a big issue in Australia. Cyberbullying, whether by texting, email, or on social media, can damage friendships, cause trust issues, spread rumors, and exacerbate mental health problems in young people. Teaching kids the usefulness of using the THINK acronym and grown-ups could help prevent negative speech. But even adult keyboard warriors, are able to shoot off a missive and then repent at leisure. I'm so sorry. And beyond social media, as adults, we also experience the power of words in many other contexts. Even in ordinary conversation with friends, we often speak before we really considering what we want to say and how to say it best. In other contexts, such as job interviews, the stakes can be high. So putting effort in learning how to better control your tongue will undoubtedly have positive repercussions in your life. Okay?
And I thought that was a great article. You know, and I had to pause for a minute, too. But the idea for that, you said pause for 2 seconds. I'm wondering if that'll be enough. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they said that I thought was a good challenge is effectively listening, because usually when you're about to respond, you're already thinking about what you're getting ready to say, and the things you already heard, and you're tailoring what you're going to say in your mind when that other person is speaking. So it's almost like you're not listening. You are calculating.
Yeah, you're basically sitting there with your shotgun loaded, ready to blow their head off.
I had that experience not long ago.
But what I want to do.
Huh?
Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead. I can't hear you.
I said I had that experience not long ago. I went to a reconciliation meeting, I thought, and this person brought a shotgun full of bullets. And when it was their turn to talk, oh, my God. They were shooting up everything.
You said.
Unfortunately, nothing was resolved because of it. You know, and
you
so
said a reconciliation meeting, I thought.
Yeah, you know, that was the plan. Let's reconcile. Let's get this together. Let's get it right before the Most High. And I'm like, Lord, where's the hospital at? I got bullet wounds,
Lord. There it is.
The Most High, you know, he has his word for a purpose. We have to eat the word. We have to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. And, you know, in Galatians 5, it tells us the fruits of the Spirit. That's really character, patience. We should think about what we're going to say before we let it out our mouth, because once we let it out, we can't take it back. And, you know, it's hard to win a person back once you done said something you don't have any business saying.
Right. So Sister Aura, I'm sorry. I had you on mute.
Yeah.
Long suffering for some people just to hold back what they want to express. It's hard, and it takes practice. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. We have to put these things in place. We have to practice these characteristics in order to become that. It just doesn't happen.
And the other sad thing is,
once you get started and you start going down that bad hill, you know, it's almost like you can't stop yourself, because it's, you know, all of a sudden you can think of words that are even worse. Have you ever, I don't know, that's how I get sometimes. I can start talking about something, you know, and somebody hurt my feelings or something, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, you know. And I come back with something that's even worse, and I'm coming back, and I can't stop myself. It's like, what? And then I look back and say, I didn't really need to say all of that. But, you know, it's almost like you turned on a faucet and you can't turn it off. It's like, I don't know.
Sometimes we just have to, it's like you said, eating things.
Uh-huh.
Number one, here again, we always have to worry about ourselves and what we're doing.
That's the problem.
What's coming out of us, because the scripture says,
yeah,
it's not what we put in our mouths, put in us, that defiles us. It's what comes out. Even if someone defiles us, we have to go ahead and take it, like Christ said, James 1:19.
Right.
Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now,
yes,
all of those things, swift to hear, slow to speak. So let's get an example here. So let's say you and somebody, friend, husband, date, I don't know who it is, you're looking for something. He told you it's over there in the cabinet, okay? And you go look. You come back. I couldn't find it. And he goes in there. It's usually the other way around, right? He goes in there and he finds it and hands it to you. And you go, oh, wow. And then he says, you should have looked for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what do you do with that? What do you do with that? How does that do with situation? What word should not be
played
there?
And bragged.
What do you do with that word?
Played
what
and bragged.
That
you should have never. Word, you should have never said that.
This is what I'm saying. And let's say, put you on the flip side. If that was you, and you came out with that word, what is that? That's antagonistic. When it comes to you, what do you do with it when it comes to you? Do you say, you're right? Or do you say nothing? But, you know, that you can still have that boiling on the inside. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But think about it. If it was you that said those things, because sometimes we do. You're trying to find that. Now, why did you say that? Why did that come out? No. Because that could have been surely in your mind. I know when I was in my office, I would send someone to look for something, and they would, what's that? Somebody got some kind of thing going on?
Hello? Sounds like something is echoing. Maybe we all should just go on mute while we're not talking. So go on, Cheryl.
How is that? I was in an office one day, and I sent someone to look for something. And most of the time, many times, they wouldn't find it. But you would never come out and say something like that, even though you're thinking, that bum wasn't even looking for it. He always wants me to do his job. Why is it that, you know, those kinds of thoughts you really have to get rid of, because those are the ones that come out your mouth at home with friends. And the question is, like you mentioned, Carol, are these thoughts, are these things that are coming out of your mouth going to benefit anyone? You mentioned it earlier, Carol. You called it...
about kind.
No, not necessary. You called it rhetorical. No. Stating the obvious. That's it.
Oh, the obvious, yeah.
Sometimes when you're stating the obvious, does that help?
No.
It never helps.
It's almost, when you do that, it's almost like, you know, when a person messes something up, I told you, didn't I tell you that was going to happen? Do you know how crazy that makes that person when you start that I told you so stuff?
Yeah.
That can make them lose their mind. You might get shot.
And there are several ways to say I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Just by saying, mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We know what you mean.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. There it is.
Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 10, it says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and
mm-hmm.
none of them is without signification. So we're going to hear a lot of things in our head that are not necessarily true, not necessarily needful, not necessarily beneficial, but all the things that you brought out in that article are really righteous dividing of the words that come out of our own mouths.
Mm-hmm.
We need to righteously divide and decide. I mean, and I know all of us are guilty of, I shouldn't have said that, after the facts.
Right.
After the facts. And the hard part is, because we can't take it back, I lost a friend who probably was never really my friend. She said to me, hey, look, let's, her husband had passed away and so did mine. And she said, let's go check out the Chippendales. You know, she was all excited about it. And I was like,
you may have to tell the audience what Chippendales was.
Oh, okay. So Chippendales were male strippers, okay? And she said, yeah, let's go check them out. Yeah, that's true, because a Chippendale is a chair, you know. But anyway, okay.
Yeah.
And so I was in the Christian church. And I said to her, I said, oh, my goodness, I bet we need to go get Vincent back here. That was her husband's name. She got so angry at me because I said that. She never, ever, 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 ever spoke to me again. I didn't mean any harm. I did feel like somebody needed to come help her out. She misunderstood what I was trying to say. But it's just, knowing your audience and learning to not let certain things fly out your mouth, because people get wounded.
Yes,
people
they do.
Get insulted. They get hurt. And so you want to do the very best you can to have that etiquette to help you, especially when people say things to you that are inconvenient. I think that that is more of the time when we kick out. I think. I'm not sure. But how many times the words come out of our mouths that could wound somebody, even our children, things that say to them. I remember when I called my daughter Lisa in her kitchen, and I picked up her knives, and I said, oh, my goodness, these knives, they're such junk. I don't even know why you have them. She went crazy. She was like, oh, so nobody can have anything good except you, right, Mommy? Nobody. I was like, oh, my goodness. But that's the problem. We don't know how someone else to get hurt. We have to figure out how
you're breaking
up.
Your headset or something is messing up again.
I don't have one headset.
Speaking again.
But anyway, hold on. Can you hear me now?
I think so.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. He just sent me a message. Hold on, let me see what she's saying. Okay, okay. No problem. Okay, she's okay. And so one sister says, so when Yeshaya flipped the table, because the brothers were selling on the Sabbath, they think Yeshaya is saying, you jackasses, and something or something like that. And I just want to throw out there that when Yeshaya flipped the table, it wasn't because he was selling on the Sabbath. Those brothers who were in there, they were the money changers. Those that came to the Passover and did not have and brought didn't bring an animal,
or they
took
did
their
bring
animals.
Animals.
But wait a second, they took their animals and sold them before they came on that long journey, because it would have been too hard to carry several lambs with them. Then when they got to them, they would change it, the money, into an animal. But they were robbing people in there. And that's why I said you made it into a den of thieves, where they were robbing the people and telling them, oh, this is not worth, you know, it's only worth more. It's worth much more than that, you know.
This animal
was exactly upset with them. But what came out of his mouth, I seriously doubt it was anything off the cuff, because Yeshaya sinned not. And he said it's not what comes out of your mouth, goes into your mouth, is what comes out that defiles a man. And if that held true for us, it most certainly held true for Yeshaya. He was without sin, and therefore our example, and our example is to hold it down, to wear that cross. And it's so easy. You know, what did Paul say? By the sin that so easily besets us. Doesn't it easily? So easily someone can say something to us, and you turn around with the side eyes, what'd you say? You know, because you feel that pride kicks in, you know, or that whoever we still are, even though we have been washed, there is still, we're still in this fleshly body. And so now slowing it down and trying to think before we come out with something. Can we do that? Can we do it? And then
when we if we're able to do that, when someone says something back, if it reviles us, what are we supposed to do?
Revile not.
Revile not.
It's not simple. Wow. It's not simple. Right. It's like Jackie said, we gotta learn this stuff. We gotta learn.
Yeah.
I got a quick question before we go forward. If anybody wanna say something, go ahead.
I wanna add something to the part about when Christ responded in reference to the money changers. Think about what the money changers means. When I worked in the bank, we had a teller called a note teller. And the note teller, you'd go there and you'd exchange pounds for dollars, or like if you were going to another country, that's where you'd go into the bank to the note teller and get the kind of coins or bills that you need on your trip. Well, in the temple, when it said a money changer, they actually had shekels, temple shekels. They had their own coins. And they're in there exchanging things what for what. And you know, when you change money into another currency, there's a charge for that. So they're like saying you can't buy anything in here unless you're using shekels or you, what, so on and so forth. So with that comes a price. So you're in there, you're making money at the same time. You're not just giving people a lamb that needs to be, you know, that you're going to sacrifice. You're making money on this exchange. So there's a you're in there doing exactly what he said not to do on the Sabbath, monetary gain, right? And there are times that men have to be authoritative and raise their voice, but we're talking today about femininity, just like we were talking last week. So let's try to understand that we're not putting ourselves in the position of Christ, screaming at people, because he told us to be wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. So that's why I'm on this topic, to try to see if we can bring the female Israelite back to her position.
Amen.
Where she had honor, and that she honored other people. So that's the main reason. In James, the third chapter, the 8th verse, he says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
It is.
And we got some real work to do. I'm sorry, what did you say? We have hard work to do. That 2-second pause may not be enough for us. We may have to take a leave of absence before we respond. Hey, I'll be right back.
So I'm going to see now anybody out there can – everybody out there that wants to be, that wants to make a comment, press 1, get into the host queue, because it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show tonight. I do need to rest my voice some. And just press 1, get into the host queue if you want to add to the conversation. But I don't know if it's my challenge. Were you able to do things with your smile? If you smiled all last week, did it help or did it hinder? Any of you guys have a testimony you'd like to make?
Well, I can certainly make a testimony. I was wonderful this week. With every bone in my body, I was in pain. I just have to say that, because there were times that I was smiling on the outside, but I had a dagger on the inside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, the top of my head was about to blow off. But, you know, I felt better because I wasn't running around wounding people. That's the thing. Because, you know, when you blow up, you don't feel good. After you tell someone off, you don't really feel good. You feel awful inside.
Well, let's ask people, do you feel good after you hurt someone? Do you feel a sense of, is this Jackie coming back wrong, guys? Area code 313. Is that what? You, Jackie?
Yeah.
Area code 313? Yeah. Okay, hold on, Jackie. Okay, go ahead, Aura.
No, I was saying, I remember when I felt like my mother-in-law had told somebody something about, well, long story short, I bought a rug and put it on my floor, but we were living with my mother-in-law, and we hadn't paid her rent, but I wasn't responsible for paying the rent. My husband was. So... She went and told one of my sister-in-laws that I had a nerve to go buy a rug before the rent was even paid. So I was furious. I said, no. I've got to let her know exactly what happened here and how she feels, because how I feel. Because I said, it's wrong for me to harbor this in my heart and not say anything. So, of course, I immediately went over there. And I said, let me just tell you something. I tried to say it calmly, but it just went bad. I felt that she was so wrong, and I needed to put her in her place. And then after I said that, I felt so horrible because, first of all, she denied it. And then she said, oh, I would never say something like that. And then I was like, oh, my God, you know. But the way she looked, her face looked so like I had just really insulted her, and I couldn't take it back. And when my husband came home, I told him what I did. I said, yes, I put your mother in place. And he just looked at me
like you're an award,
you know?
And what was wrong with what you said? What was wrong? Let's hear it. What was wrong with what you said? Was it true?
Well, I'm not sure it was true, but somebody told me, and I was actually going by what somebody said. And the reason why I think it was true because the other person didn't know that I had gotten a rug, okay? So somebody told her that. So I felt that it was wrong because I guess – what?
Did it benefit anyone, what you said?
No, it didn't benefit any of us because we all knew, and three people were hurt. She was hurt. My husband was hurt because I was so rude, and I was hurt because I said all these things. But, you know, it's so funny how you think you're right and you really feel like you just need to let this person know that they can't say things like that. You know, you just feel like you have to let them know. But I felt so bad after that. I mean, it took a long time for me to feel right. And I know she probably, something inside of her probably would not say certain things around me because of what I said. You know what I'm saying? She probably, from that point on, had something in her mind about me that said, no, I'm not, you got to be careful what you say to her because she'll put you in your place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I could have handled that a lot better, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a good thing because this was not magnified nor glorified. Now, I have a similar situation in that I said, I'm over there at my husband's before we got married, I think it was. And he had done his laundry, and I was folding up some of his shirts that he brought back upstairs. And so he'd do that so that when he went to his mother's house, he could do two things at once, you know, conquer that. And so I'm folding up shirts, and then she looks over at me, and she goes, oh, he taught you well, huh? I looked up at her and I said, I raised five kids, I think. I know how to fold up clothes. She just kind of closed down and didn't say another thing to me. And I'm like, even a long time ago, I still feel that was a horrible response. I didn't need to do that. I felt like, and this lady, she really likes me. She really loves me. And when she said that, I'm like, what was that? That was pride and arrogance that all came out. It didn't help anybody. It didn't make anything better. It didn't, even though it was true, because, see, sometimes, let's get it right, the truth is not always expedient. No one needed to know that I know how to fold up clothes. Who needed to know that information? Well, that's the question you got to ask when it's the truth coming out. Did anybody need to know that I knew how to fold clothes? But I made it very clear that, hey, I got this. What did it benefit me? It made somebody feel way about me. And so if I could take that back, I would take it back. But I can't. We got a caller in the queue, guys. Area code 856. Area code 856, you're on with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom. It's funny that you all are talking about the things that we say out of our mouth. Yesterday, there was an event going on with the family. I didn't particularly want to go, but it was an event with the children at a play center. And my son was on punishment, so he couldn't go. So the family was upset and angry and saying really mean things and texting really negative things. But I'm a person that if something doesn't apply to me, I let it fly. So what they really said didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was my response to them. And I knew I took my time because I don't want to be a person to have to wish, said I would have, should have, could have, didn't say something. I don't want to send forth offense to people and have to try to reel it back in because I want my life to be a life to draw them to Christ, knowing that I represent the Father, knowing that I represent, and the majority of them know I go to Gathering Christ Church, you know. So I have to represent the Father, my church, my son. And so I sat a while and I thought about a lot of things I could text. And I did. I text something, I erased it. I text something else and I erased it. I text and I erased. So I never sent. But you know what I finally sent?
Mm-hmm.
I finally sent. I said, can't we just disagree on how we parent our children and still be kind to one another?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Beautiful.
Because how I choose the parent, see, I don't reward negative behavior because I want him to be a mighty king for the Most High. So when something's appropriate, I'm on it. And they think I'm on it too much. But see, I'm on it because I'm saving his life from the cops, from everything. I'm saving his life from a life incarceration, from an early death. I'm saving his life. And I have been given an assignment, and he is an assignment, that I must train him up the way the Lord says, according to his word. So therefore, that's just how I ended the situation. I just text, can't we just disagree on how we choose to parent our children? I parent mine my way, you parent yours your way, and we can still be kind to one another.
Okay, let me respond to that.
Oh yeah, so you think Ken up oil Carol. So you think that here's the response for you. Oh, so you think can nobody tell you nothing? Like none of us have raised before. How is it that you think you only know anything? Have you gotten that response like that? What would you do with it?
Say it again. You broke up. If they gave me what response?
Basically, I'll say it, Cheryl, because you're breaking up. Basically, she wants to know if you got a response back that said, who do you think you are? You think you're the only person around here that knows how to parent someone from your response? What would you come back and say?
A lot of how I come back, sometimes I say nothing. Because another thing I learned in life, sometimes no response is the best response.
Absolutely.
And that's just how really how I function. So that I can always be at peace with people.
The reason
I choose
that out there. Go ahead.
Thank you, Carol.
No, I was going to try to respond for you, but, you know, here I am thinking I can think what you said. But you answer if you can, you know, get it out of your throat.
No, I just said the reason why I threw that out there is because it's usually some little digging antagonist that will do stuff like that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when I did not let my children celebrate Christmas, I can't tell you some of the stuff that that was said to me. And I basically mm-hmm. said pretty much so, we're just not doing it, you know. And the day went by, and I was living in the house with the people. Carol was one of them. Anyway, they were digging me out. This is when I was walking with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
JWs.
And, oh, my goodness, when I was learning their doctrine. And they were so angry at me Christmas morning. When everybody was opening their gifts, and my kids were looking like, just skip it. And I took so much criticism.
Oh,
well, one of the reasons I didn't get in their face was because there was too many of them. You know, like they were crucified me in there.
No, I said that's part of it too, because I don't do the holiday system. They're pagan days, and they think that he doesn't mm-hmm. have any type of fun. I had to come outside. I had to come outside for this. I didn't particularly want to go anyway. So when he acted up, mm-hmm. I was happy. Him getting on front of it made it much easier for me not go. They just didn't know that.
Yep.
You know? So that's all. That's a lot of it too. He has no fun. He has lots of fun. We go to Tabernacles. We have Passover. Mm-hmm. We have all these feast days, one coming up. He has a great time amongst his new family, you know?
Oh, my goodness,
So I do get the daggers. I get a lot of daggers. I get a lot of texts from people. And I just, many times, I'll ignore them. Or I'll just send something kind back and leave it alone. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to have my emotions torn up if I don't cover myself and say, I don't mm-hmm. have to let this take me out of character. I don't have to let this upset me. I don't have to let mm-hmm. this put my feelings in disarray.
That's
you know,
very
and then I can go, and then I tell them, I'll reach out and still tell them when they say mean things. I said, no worries. I said, I forgive you already. I said, no worries. I'll see you another time.
Mm-hmm. Because
you know it's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's hard, but mm-hmm. I can lay down at peace. I can go to bed. You know, I can come before the Father and still be at my peace. It's hard, but
Amen.
It's worth it.
Amen, sister.
Yeah.
Because you know something, we can offend other people, and we can offend others so easily. And the scripture says that in times people will be offended easily. And so when they come at us with those types of statements, we know they're wrong. We know it. But as the scripture says, to be as wise as a serpent and as harmful as a dove, we have to try to take that negative and turn it into a positive. And you're right, sis, it's hard. It is very hard. But, you know, taking that extra gulp and speaking.
It's some bitter water.
That's the way. Yeah, it is. It is definitely bitter water. But we have to suffer for his name's sake, not our own.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with you. And those holidays,
I'm gonna put you back in the queue.
The holidays,
yes, I'm gonna put you back in
the biggest challenges that we could ever come across was our families. If they haven't done anything, they celebrate Christmas. They come on mad strong with that thing.
And the bad part is we really have to show Christ in everything, but it's those little digs that I want to talk about tonight. Let me bring in area code 502. Area code 502, you're on the air. Area code 502, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, mothers. How y'all doing tonight?
Shalom. Good. How about you?
I am blessed, mothers, and I'm laughing at the same time because I'm going to make this real brief. I was raised with brothers and boy cousins. And I lived in a family where it was just me and my mom for so long and one aunt. So around all those males, all I knew was snapback, joking, sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I took it into my marriage.
Ooh.
And though my husband at first, he was like, he would get furious with me. Because when he met my family, it was just a bunch of men and testosterone and you know, so I grew up fighting my brothers, arguing with my brothers. And so, again, I took that to my marriage. And although, you know, some may think it, you know, some of the girls may think it's cute, it really isn't. And when mm-hmm. I first came into GOC, and we've been a member, it's not even been a year yet, but I'll praise to the mm-hmm. Most High because I – off the cuff, I've been asking my officer, I'm like, my prayer is that I can bridle my tongue. And real quick, mothers, if I could read James 1 and 26, because this really hit
right
home for me. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle
mm-hmm.
not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religious is vain.
Yeah,
and
right.
I've had to learn how to apologize because I didn't know that either. I thought that what I was doing, like I said, was cheap because that's how I grew up.
Right.
And it wasn't that I meant any harm, but that's just I thought that was the norm. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what
mm-hmm.
right. is where it's at. Mm-hmm. You know, you on the job mm-hmm. and you do it on the job, and you know, you do it with your girlfriends, and you realize mm-hmm. that. It none of it. It garnishes anything. I mean, it doesn't add anything. It doesn't edify anything, nothing to
That's
anyone.
Right.
So with that, I bow out with that because I was over here like, my husband's like clapping like, family. You know, because that's my prayer for myself is that because it's real.
That should be all of our prayers, you know. All of us need to have that.
Especially when you came up like that and it was normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was
what were you saying, Jackie? I couldn't hear you. Yeah.
I said that seems to be the prayer of every woman of Zion. We need to bridle our tongues, you know. And
yes.
sometimes I think we think that we're motivated because we've taken up for ourselves. We love ourselves. But really, a lot of it is that we've been wounded by other people. We have a wounded spirit, and we get it confused. You know, we think we're taking care up for ourselves. We love ourselves, so we're going to say what we need to say so they can know, you know, not to mess with me no more because I'll get astray. But if really somebody else has hurt you, you know,
mm-hmm.
so you like that young lady just said, this is what she did. This is what she knew. That's what she practiced. But when we come
mm-hmm.
into the truth, we have to begin. We got to really practice doing the words. Because I found out that a lot of the knowledge that we have, it goes straight to our head, not to our heart, and we don't practice it in everyday life. And we get haunted because we got all this knowledge. We're so full of pride. But it's not in our hearts. It's like the understanding. Our understanding has to be enlightened by the Spirit of the Most High, you know. And a lot of it, what we have is head knowledge, you know. These other principles, we have to get it down by practicing it. By, you know, if somebody gets confrontational with us for whatever reason, what are we going to pull out in the scripture and practice? Are we just going to go back at them? You know, I could have pulled out my gun and started shooting bullets too, but I did not. I kept silent. I felt bad for the other individual, but I kept silent because I know better. When you know better,
mm-hmm.
you do better. But if we don't practice the word of God, you know, we know what it says in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is blah, 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 blah. We know that. We can rehearse that. But
yeah.
are we
mm-hmm.
practicing in our day-to-day life? It has to become a lifestyle. We got to eat this word. We got to live by this word. You know, it's got to
yes,
get
yes,
out of
yes,
our
yes.
head. And it's got to get in our everyday life.
Yes, yes,
and we, And we're going to keep just, having these different things happen to us because the Most High is trying to get us to talk right, to treat people right.
Amen.
You know, treat people the way you want to be treated. Talk to me the way you want me to talk to you. It's so simple. But we confuse
But you see, you know one of the problems, Jackie? One of the problems is we mix that up. And when we think someone's talking to us wrongly, we need to reiterate. We need to get them to understand by the same way they're talking to us. Oh, say what? You know, and we go right back at them with it. That's usually where we go. And thanks for calling in. Do you have anything else you want to say, sis?
Real quick.
I'm going to put you back.
I have a cousin yes, ma'am. My
go ahead.
Cousins, I have several cousins that are younger than me, and what really brought it home was the fact that my cousin told my husband that I was mean when I was young. I was mean. And if I felt disrespected, they got it. He said I would bury him. But that's how I grew up. And for him to say that now to my husband now, and I'm like, it kind of makes me slide down in the chair like, ugh.
Because
I
remember. You don't know that other person. You don't even recognize But you don't even recognize that old you. It's amazing. When I think about some of the ways I used to talk, I think about, oh, my God, who was that girl?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right, sis, I'm going to put you back in the queue. I just want to say, you know, thank you for that. That was really good. And, you know, the hard part about it all, the hard part about it all is just trying to keep ourselves under control. You know the song, "All More of Thee and Less of Me."
Mm-hmm.
Bind me closely, Lord, to Thee. Burn out all iniquity till there's nothing left but Thee. It's a beautiful hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that that's what we're striving to, because most of us are still fighting to be who we are. It's like, why don't you get it? You know, I need to be able to, you know, have a little bit of me left here, you know. But no, you might not need no more of that. Like she said, sometimes the way we grew up, it might have been fun. It might have been a burden. It might have been all kinds of problems. But the thing about it is that it comes to a point where we have to make a change. And that time is now is the time that we have to pull it in gear and figure out how we can, because it's necessary. And if you really want to get a challenge, some of these young kids growing up in our homes, they will let you know without a shadow of a doubt. Would you say, why are you saying that to me? You know, and you have to be so careful how you talk to these growing kids. I mean, not the youngest ones, because you've already done damage there, but the ones that are older, that have watched everything you've done and listened to everything you've said. Now you've got to figure out how to erase some things from the board, you know, because they know who you are. And they know mommy's always saying stuff like that, you know. So even with children, with your husbands, with your wives, you know what I'm saying, with your mother-in-laws and things like that, just being careful what you say. I'm going to pull another caller in. Area code 917. You on the air with your daughters of Zion. Area code 917. Area code 917. You're unmuted. You're on the phone with the daughters of Zion. All right. They must have... Hello, area code 917, you're on with the Daughters of Zion. Okay, I'll put them back in the queue. Are we going to, did it sound like they came on?
Oh, it sounded like someone.
Hello, area code 917.
Okay.
You know, it sounds like she probably, you know, she might have pressed one and then went off, you know, like we
maybe
do sometimes. Busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to definitely end early tonight because, you know, my throat is doing all kind of tricks and I've been coughing all night long. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring? Because I just want to get some rest.
I'll tell you something that I did before. There was a girl on my job, and I was talking about weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight, how much we weighed. And I, you know, someone had mentioned something about, you know, eating differently and blah, blah, blah. I might have told this story already, but anyway, I'll tell it again. And so I said to her, well, you know, considering that we're both kind of fat, we probably should maybe try this new whatever. And she paused and she looked at me and she said, did you just call me fat? And I said, well, we both are fat. I added myself in there. No. She said, no. You can say anything you want about yourself, but don't call me. I mean, she went off and I thought I was never going to have her as a friend again. And so I told my children what I said, and they thought I was crazy. So
yeah.
I guess when it says you should think about what you're about to say, I guess I should learn to think a little bit more about what I'm about to say. But I thought I was being very harmless, but apparently I offended her. She was not happy about
so
that.
It's like I think there are certain words we just need to take out of our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you two words
like
that could be removed.
Somebody.
What
All right.
were you going to say? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I was talking
you.
To somebody and I was saying, can you hear me?
No.
Hear me?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Go ahead.
You can't hear me now?
No,
I was talking to someone and I said, okay. I was talking to somebody and I said, oh my goodness, she's so skinny. And she came back and turned it around and she says, yeah, she is on the slim side. And I felt like a fool. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what are the words that to you? But you've thrown it out there. Like, find better word to use.
Yes.
Never use the word ugly.
Precision.
I find the word ugly is... My mom used to tell me, no one is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
All God's creations are beautiful. Some are deformed. But no one is ugly. Stop. Don't
mm-hmm.
use that word. There are certain
mm-hmm.
words that we need to take out of our vocabulary. What's your two, Carol?
It's not ugly or anything like that, but it's the word apparent and obviously. Those are two of the most sarcastic words you can use. Apparently, blah, 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 or obviously. Those are really bad words that cause people to lose it when you say that. What? That's
funny.
My two words.
And see, we didn't even talk about the sarcasm because the sarcasm goes deep. You know, I'm the queen of sarcasm. You know.
Well, young
so
lady,
I
got
to
on
say
a
there's a lot. One sister said, she used to say when someone was overweight, pleasingly, I don't think that would have come out of
pleasingly
most people's mouth.
Pleasingly plump.
Plump.
Be the person that's on the weight
plump.
Side and see if
I'm
that's,
not sure that's
that,
good or not.
Right, because
exactly.
the person that's heavy
plump.
Is not happy with pleasingly plump. They're not happy with thick, healthy.
Happy no.
with it, you know.
Big bones.
Or here's the big famous one.
Have you
big bones. Have you ever seen a fat
skeleton
in your life?
Big bones.
No.
God.
Yeah, no skeleton coming out of the closet with bat legs.
Let's get some words that we want to get rid of. What are some words that we shouldn't use? Or you got any words that we should just get rid of? Shut up.
Shut up.
We never use that.
Never.
We should never use that.
Never.
We should never do it. We should get that
moving right
word.
Along. I know that's another one that's sarcastic. We're saying moving
what's
right
the
along.
Word? That's real sarcastic. It's like we have no time for your foolishness. Let's keep moving.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have
Jackie,
any,
you
Jackie?
I just pray that each of us would really take heart to the things that we say and really think about it, think before we speak, and it just takes a little patience.
I want some words, Jackie. I want some words that we could just try to, you know, like, let me tell you something. When we were kids, the word N-I-G-G-E-R was a household word. You heard it everywhere you went. You said it. It was no big deal. After a certain period of time, when we became, you know, more conscious, we, I guess you could say, it stopped being used. We stopped using it. And it became like a curse word to us. So I'm trying to find words like that, if that seems like a curse word, we'll stop using it. The word liar, I still don't use that word because my parents, you got in trouble if you said something was a lie. We would always say that's a story or it wasn't true. So if we could find some of the hateful words to take out of our vocabulary, it might help us when we're flying off the handle and don't have that 2-minute time to slow down and not say something. Just not ever saying those words. Oh, fat anyway. Maybe that word fat should never be used in that area. Just never use it. Or whatever. And like I said, the word ugly. It's not a good word. No one should ever be called.
You know, we talk about politically correct. We need to have something called, I guess, Christianly correct or something on that order. I don't know what we could call it, but it's trying to be pleasant, trying not to offend people, because our words are very, very powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they love it, and I'll eat the fruit thereof.
Right.
We have to
I'm
going to
bring
careful.
In a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Carol. I'm sorry.
No, I said, okay.
All right. Bringing in another caller. You were saying we have to be careful, and I cut you.
Well, that was, I was full, I'll say full stop.
All right. Area code 6. I'm sorry, Carol. I you know what? I'm going to have a lot
of
trouble
with
this.
It's okay. It's like I'll end it with what do they say on the CDs or whatever? Out, you know, when you're finished saying something, you know.
Over
you
and out.
Over and
over
out.
And out. Okay. Area code 646. Well, she did all that to say that, but area code 646, you're on the air.
Shalom, sisters. This is Sister Diane.
Shalom. Hey, Diane.
Hey. I just want to say words should always be used to edify, and it should always be used for correction, not to hurt people's feelings. And, you know, like, I find that word ugly. I find it repulsive. I hate hearing people say it. I just can't stand it because it's insulting. It even tells you in the scripture that our own Lord and Savior, he was not something that was, like, considered beautiful. You know what I'm saying? But the Most High did that purposely. You know, because it was about the word. And you know he could have made Christ as beautiful as he wanted to, cause like a David or something. But it was about the word. And that's the thing. It's about our hearts. And that's why, you know, we have to work on that. And that's a problem with the nation as a whole. especially here, I find in America, everything is about looks and stuff. And at one time, it wasn't necessarily even about that. Because I look at, sometimes when you look at even old videos, I remember you would see people's flaws. Even in the rap videos, you would just see people's natural. You would see the girl on the block that was in the video, the guy on the block. Not everybody has to look so perfect, and it's not reality, you know. So that
right.
goes to show you everybody. Yeah, everybody puts how you look first as opposed to what is in the man's heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
everybody's in the metaverse, honey.
Mm-hmm. But that's all I wanted to say. Sister Shelley, feel
thank
better.
You, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to put you back in the queue, darling. Hang on,
okay.
hang on.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, so I think that's great, too, because, you know, the thing about it is it's not simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple. You know, we try to keep our hearts and minds in tune to what the Most High is saying. But there are certain things, like I said, we need to just learn how to tailor our thoughts and our minds to keep on the Most High. And if we can do that, we'll all be better off, all be better off. But I just want to say that, you know, unless we have another caller come in, I'm going to make it a night because I am a little out of it. And anybody want to say anything before we go off the air tonight?
I do. I want to just say that the song by Hezekiah Walker, we used to sing that as our like anthem in the church when we'd end, you know, and I know you know that I need you, you need me.
Yeah.
We're all a part of God's body. Well, you know, there's a verse in there that says,
I won't harm you.
Right. But I want to, it says, I pray for you, pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. And it says, I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. And that's a beautiful thing to end with, is that I won't harm you. I'm sorry, Cheryl, I didn't understand you.
No, I hear Jackie singing in the background while you're talking.
Jackie, please. Go on.
She's like
sing.
A crazy girl. Just the singing back
go
there.
Go.
Okay.
Now when we give it a flaw, it's no.
You know? I was singing with her, not without her.
You didn't know what it sounded like from this end.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Good, Jackie. I won't harm you with words from my mouth, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm still working on that.
We all need to think about that because that is part of femininity. And I used to think about my mom and a few of her friends. She had two other women, and they were just like best friends. One mm-hmm. of the women had a mantra that she went by that said, it's nice to be nice. And she used to always say that. It is nice. And if we as the daughters of Zion take all of this into heart and try so hard, even if someone insults us, hurts us, we don't have to come back strong. The Most High will fight our battles because vengeance is His.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about that. We can hold on to His promises and remember
right.
that even if we tell that person off, did it help?
Right.
Did it build anybody
right.
up? Did it make someone come to know the Lord because
right.
you were able to tell them off?
Right.
You know, it's so amazing. You think about it. Even like when Christmas comes around and you start that, and everyone's Merry Christmas this and Happy Easter. We don't have to turn around there and give them the dissertation from
Now, look at here, I ain't in the pagan stuff. You know, you know something? Sometimes you can feel like, let me tell this girl, I am not doing the pagan thing this year. There was a lady up the street from me, girl. She got all these signs up on her house when Christmas comes about. He's the reason for the season. And I mean, carrying on. And I want to go and rip all the signs up. But I don't.
But you know what I wanted to just say, that if we can remember where our, you know, that we, our weapons are not carnal. Because
Amen.
We always coming back with the guns on, you know what I'm saying? But
come
we
on,
remember,
man.
We remember that our weapons are not our warfare, but, you know, are not carnal, but mighty through the Most mm-hmm. High to the pulling down of strongholds. And then that mm-hmm. next verse, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high mm-hmm. thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Most High, and bringing
Amen.
Into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because sometimes mm-hmm. we always feel like we got to be ready with an answer to cut somebody down. Just, hey, don't go there. It's like I'm saying. But we got to remember
the way of the
who we are, right, who we are, and what weapons did the Most High give us? You know, love and kindness.
Right.
Like some people used to say, kill them with kindness. That's
mm-hmm.
what, you know, we got to learn how to do as well, because that's how you win people, you know, over to Christ.
That's right. Amen.
The other person, you know, the more to your godly side. If they don't see that, why would they want to go to your church? Why would they want to ask you anything about Christ? If you are this person always with your guns.
And that's why sometimes it's so hard to get people that live in your home to walk with Christ.
That's
right. Because I think Jesus brought out that scripture that your religion is in vain.
That's
right. James 26, you're walking with God, but they see and hear another side.
Right.
They see and hear hypocrisy coming from you. They're watching. And what comes out of your mouth is tainted. It's tainted.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure that we're paying attention to that, because where is the beauty of holiness?
Exactly.
That has to come out of your mouth. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but not tonight, because we are going off at 9 o'clock. For whatever reason, I couldn't even get it to register for more than that. I guess the Most High said, not tonight, Shirley. But my throat is really dry. And, I mean, I could let you guys go on, but it won't register any further than 9 o'clock. So I'm going to ask Sister Aura to close us out in prayer.
Yes. All right, gracious and all-wise and eternal Father, we thank you, Father, for this, because I think this is a conversation we all need to have, Father, because I think everybody hearing this can relate to this, Father. And if we can remember that scripture, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, so edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, Father. Father, we pray that you will just keep us mindful of these things, Father, because really, sometimes we think we're not harming anybody. You know, sometimes we might do it for a laugh, or sometimes we feel like it must be said. But, Father, we thank God for the things that Carol brought out in that message about how we need to really stop and think. Will it be helpful? Is it necessary? Was it kind? Father, these things, when we start thinking about these things, it will bring us to our knees, because we're not being Christ-like. For we need to hide behind you, Father. You know, we got to let all this other stuff go, Father, and, you know, submit ourselves to you, Father, so that we can walk uprightly, Father. Father, we just pray and ask, Father, and we're just thankful for this blog talk time. or, you know, sharing, Father, because we all learn so much from each other. We thank you, Father, that everyone that called in had something to share, that I'm sure it resonated in someone's heart, Father. And
yes,
no one is walking away feeling like they didn't need this, because we all needed this. This is something we all needed, Father, and we just
yes,
thank you for that. And just like that verse that talks about, let the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, and we praise you in your precious Son, Yeshua's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to add one
right,
thing. I just for the THINK acronym, T is for true, H is helpful, I is inspiring, N is it necessary, and K is kind. So take that away tonight.
Okay.
All right.
We will.
Okay. Let's all remember that. All, everybody have a wonderful, blessed night, okay?
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.